Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Always like to try and get the range right because my voice is quite boomy, and if I get too close, you know, you think like your higher power's talking to you or something. Do you know what I mean? What did you do for your recovery today? Did you help the newcomer? That's how I deal with my nerves. You know what? While Lulu was talking, oh my God, I was so nervous. It was unbelievable. Usually when I sit in meetings now, listening to shares, I like to have my eyes closed because then I can just concentrate on the words and what's being said, rather than looking at what trainers he's wearing, what she's wearing, and all that kind of nonsense, which I do when my eyes are open. So I had to have my eyes, I kept my eyes open because I didn't want everyone to think, oh, he's being rude, look, he's nodding off and da-da-da-da. So I kept my eyes open, that was really difficult, and I think that's why I got so nervous. But, excuse me. Still there a bit. Yeah, it was lovely to hear that you'd passed the driving test today. You know what, I love that in recovery is hearing people accomplishing things and reaching goals and targets and that kind of stuff. You know, because if you're like me, and I guess a good 99.99% of you are, you know, in my using, you know, I had loads of goals, but never reached one. You know, I was that dude in the corner of the crack house that was going to rule the world. Do you know what I mean? And you can come with me, and we'll take over the world, and we'll do this, and we'll do that, and but let me have one more pipe. You know what I mean? And we'll do it after that. You know, when that stone finishes, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll get clean, and we'll. And I never done sod all. Today I woke at 8:30 after 2 hours sleep. I spent the night playing solitaire. You know, I have this thing where until I actually complete it, I can't go to sleep. OCD, I don't know what it is. So 2 hours sleep and woke and went to the doctors, went to the hospital to have my leg dressed. I've got two leg ulcers, consequences of my using. When I was using, never had an ulcer. 11 years later, I'm getting ulcers. So I went and I had that done, picked up the kids, went home, found that my dog had a bad bout of diarrhea all over the place, which I had to clean, keep the kids entertained. And I did it. And I didn't swear at anybody. And I didn't shout at anybody. I didn't give the dog a dig, which I kind of, you know, since I've only had the dog a few months, but, you know, I've said the Serenity Prayer a whole heap of times since getting this dog. And I love it, but it really kind of, yeah, it's a dog. Do you know what I mean? So that was my day today. And then come in here. My point being is that I was available. I was there. I took part. Do you know what I mean? I never did that before. I didn't know how to do. You know, I didn't know how to turn up. I didn't know how to look after myself, let alone look after anybody else. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, my addiction was all about me, but it was all about you have to look after me, you have to take care of me. You know, I'd turn up at hospitals and say, look, and they'd say, like, what? I'd say, you know, fix me, do you know what I mean? Fix me so I can go out and tear myself to pieces again, because that's what I did on a regular and daily basis. You know, I found recovery in 2005, And it wasn't my first time, it was about my third. I tried Broadreach in Plymouth and then left after a week. A guy on the other breakfast table got a fat gyro and was leaving. So I said, can I come with you? He said, yeah. And then lost me at King's Cross. Hey ho, so so that was that one. And I ended up in Barleywood with the intention of giving up smack. See, this is what I thought my problem was, yeah? You know, I started using it about the age of 14. I used to nick my dad. My dad used to smoke JPS cigarettes. And I used to nick them, go in the backstairs, nick about four or five, go in the backstairs, and smoke them like a lunatic before anyone caught me, and spin out on the stairs. Didn't like it, but continued to do it. Do you know what I mean? And then I graduated to his drinks cabinet. And my old man was a special brew and Cinzano drinker. And special brew wasn't really for me, so I used to have a little tipple of Cinzano. That was my first, like, my first introduction to booze. And I've really lost my train of thought now. where was I? I was at the smack bit, wasn't I? Don't worry, it'll come to me. Anyway, I started using it at 14 and it got kind of progressive. Yes, that was it. I told you it would come back. So, I ended up in Barleywood and I just wanted to give up smack. Smack was my problem. Puff was all right. I was cool with puff. Drink, didn't really like drink. I drank because all my friends drank and they went to the pub, and at the weekends I'd have been on my own or with the uncool guys. And I wanted to be with the cool guys in the pub. So I went to the pub and stomached lager, which I really hated because kind of guys that I was in the pub with, I couldn't really order a Cinzano. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't have worked. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll have a Cinzano. Don't forget the cherry. So I used to drink lager, which I absolutely detested, but drunk it. And when I drank, I didn't drink. See, and it was always, it's quite mad, because even back then, so I was about 15, 16 then, because I was always tall. I could get in, I could breeze into these places quite easily. And even then, I just thought, I used to say to people, why would you drink this? You know, if I want refreshment, I'm going to go and get a Coke or Pepsi or something like that. You know, you can't tell me you like the taste of this. You know, so I never really got the answer. But anyway, I drank and I drank and I drank to oblivion. First time I really drank at a pub, I ended up at home being woken up by my mum screaming at me and then walking me back through the house to show the trail of destruction as I kind of got in. How I got home, I don't know. But I managed to spew up in my brother's bed and get back into my clean bed. So, yeah. So, yeah, that was. And all up the walls and all, it was terrible. So, yeah, so as I say, smack was my problem, nothing else. And when I ended up in Barleywood, I kind of, you know, and I said, and I would go through the groups and I'd say, yeah, I'm here to give up smack. I was a bit of a smart ass, yeah. I would never say crack, spliff, booze, coke. I'd never say any of that. I'd just say smack. So then when I use, I didn't lie to you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I said I'm here to give up smack. And that's the way my brain worked. So the first opportunity I got, I used crack. And then the second opportunity I got, I used smack. See what I mean? So when I'm under no illusions that I'm an addict and I, not so much should be here. I was thinking about this today. You know, I'm here and I come here because I want to come here. Do you know what I mean? You know, in the early days, when I first came in, you know, fast forward from the Barley Wood days when I came out Jack the Lad only wanting to give up smack and ending up in the Derriford Hospital in Plymouth with a heart infection, saying to the doctors, you know, you got to get me well. And they're like, what are you going to do about your drug problem? Well, you know, it's not going to be a problem if you get me well, you know, because I will go out and I will carry on, you know, you get me well, I take, you know, I'm the addict, you're the doctor. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. You know what I mean? That's the attitude I had, though. Do you know what I mean? You know, I would, I woke up one morning and my arm, I woke up, I can't move my arm. And I was lying on my back and I lifted up my arm and my arm went bosh, right in my face. My arm was completely dead. And I rang my dealer. And he said, yeah, what do you want? I said, to my arm. He said, what do you want about? I said, I can't use my arm. He said, why don't you go to the doctors? I said, what do you mean go to, do you know what I mean? It didn't occur to me. It didn't, my brain didn't connect like that, do you know what I mean? And I didn't go to the doctor, and he came round and it worked, okay? Eventually worked. But that's the kind of mentality I had. I didn't look after myself. So I ended up getting well in this hospital. I say get well, I mean like they got the infection under control. And I left there with a girlfriend. I left there with a girl. That was quite funny, actually, when I think about it. I used to be in the smoking room, right? I was about there, and I'd be scouring butts in the smoking room. One of the nurses used to take pity on me and buy me half ounce of tobacco. And I met this woman in the smoking room, and her son was a dealer, so she became my girlfriend. And we left there together with our bags of like methadone and shit like that. And I went and lived with her. And my mum was phoning me every day, when are you coming back? When are you coming home? And I say, yeah, you know, I'm all right. I'm like, yeah, I'm staying with, like, yeah. And I was in this crazy, oh, God. I forgot about that, you know. It's mad what the mind deletes. But so, yeah, eventually I came back. And the doctors told me in Derriford that if I continued using drugs, that I would end up again with this heart infection. It would kill me, blah, blah, blah. This is what I heard, blah, 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 blah. Do you know what I mean? In my head, you know, you get that, you see that the monkey's in my head doing that, and I was going, yeah, 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 like, yeah. And I left, and I used, because that's all I knew. Do you know what I mean? I did not know any other way. I didn't know about getting clean, I didn't know, but, you know, I had a little, as I said, I had a little taste in Barley Wood, but it weren't for me. That life weren't for me. So I got the infection back in 2005, and this time it was serious. It was serious. I was quite paralyzed down kind of one side. And I was in the hostel. I was in Arlington House in Camden Town. And people would come in, I'd let people use my room so I could get drugs out of them, and they'd say, you need to go to hospital, you need to go to hospital. And I'd say, no, just, you know, when I get my next gyro, I'll get a parcel, da 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 da, and then I'll go. And this went on for months, and I just laid in that bed, you know what I mean, crippled, fucked, excuse my language, that's the first time I've swore, actually. And still couldn't bring, do you know what I mean? I still couldn't bring myself to do something good for myself. And luckily someone called the ambulance, and one morning my door knocked, I managed to get to the door thinking it was someone with drugs. Do you know what I mean? So I used all my energy and got to that door, opened the door, and two paramedics standing there. I was like, what do you want? And they was like, well, we've come for you. So what do you mean you come for me? Do you know what I mean? Like it was right up front. What do you mean, come for me? Do you know what I mean? I'm living large. Do you know what I mean? In my hostel room, you know, surrounded by tin cans of my own urine. You know what I mean? That's how large I was living. Yeah, I was living in my own filth. And you know what? I was so weak and so tired that I thought, you know what? I might as well go. And they strapped me to that moody wheelchair that they have. And I used to see people getting carted out of this hostel quite regularly on that wheelchair. Look at it. Yeah, fuck it. And then one day it was me. And I was all I could think about is what people, oh God, how must I look? Oh, strapped to this wheelchair, do you know what I mean? You know, like I had any sort of image anyway. You know, I'm 6'4", and I used to wear, I'd wear clothes, I don't know, Dean is considerably smaller than me, you know, and I'd borrow your clothes. And bowl. Do you know what I mean? And think I was, yeah. And I want everybody to take me serious. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, I'm here, yeah, what? Yeah, with a joke, trousers up there. Yeah, I used to have a pair of sandals, right? These are the sandals, yeah? My toes used to be like that, scraping. And that is no word of a lie, right? When I was living up in Bristol, and I'd be running from security guards. But my toes would be scraping concrete. And people used to say to me, you know, don't you want to change your life? I used to say to people, when I was living in Bristol, I'd go in this Irish pub, and I'd walk in and I'd go, here he comes, he's got the cow and the pig. Because I used to have so much meat. Right, and I used to tell people, yeah, I'm a cattle rustler. You know what I mean? Because you talked about fantasy, yeah? Boy, if it weren't for fantasy, right, I might not even be here today. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I used to run around Bristol pretending I was a cattle rustler, living off the land. Yeah, I don't know if anyone knows Bristol, but you got the bear pit, and you got the public toilets, and behind the toilets there's like a plot of land. And we took over this plot of land. And we were just there. And the buses would go round, and people would just be watching us, and people would try and get in their groin. And, do you know what I mean? And it was madness. But to me, that was normal at the time. Do you know what I mean? That was my life, my free life. I'm living free. You lot are all squares. Do you know what I mean? Or I'd be in the tunnels in the bear pit under a duvet. I remember one particular time I was under a duvet and all the feet were going past, clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop. And I'm under that duvet and I want to get out, but I'm too embarrassed to get out because people are walking past. But in the same time, I'm coating these people off. Yeah, yeah, going to work, look at them squares, wankers, yeah. And I was under this duvet, petrified that they would see me. Do you know what I mean? And this was the great life I thought I was living. Anyway, excuse me. So on the 25th of February, 2005, I had enough. Ended up in hospital again, and the doctor said to me, doctor went, yeah, another week and we won't be having this conversation. And I was like, okay, yeah, what's wrong? The infection's come back, endocarditis, parasite on your heart valve, you know, have you got any questions? And I was like, you know what, doc, I need some time to kind of let this sink in. And he was like, okay, I'll give you a minute. And as soon as he went out of the room, I cooked up a hit. And I had a hit in the room, you know, this... As I say, I didn't know no other way. I didn't know any other way. This guy just told me that what you're doing is killing you and is about to kill you, and all I could think to do was just do it. Fuck it. Do you know what I mean? I'm in this deep. You know that kind of way? I'm in this deep now. Might as well keep going. So anyway, I was I stayed in this hospital, and they got me well. And every day I'd say to them, you know, they'd say, you know, you're going to address your drug problem. No, da 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 da. And then one day, I don't know, I heard a nurse say to the other nurse, he thinks he's getting 50 mil of methadone, but with the combination of other drugs he's getting, he's only kind of getting the benefits of about 5 mils or something like that. I'm like, what? Fucking cheap, what? You know what I mean? I'm bigger than 5 mil of methadone. And I went, oh, right, I want to come off the methadone. Expecting them to say, okay, we'll do it like, you know, a smidge a day. They went, okay, boom, it's done. What? But I just went with it. Do you know what I mean? I went with it. At this point, I had people from NA coming up to the hospital, and they were banding words to me like, have faith, have faith, have faith, take a leap of faith. I didn't know about this stuff. So I suppose that was my first leap of faith, and I came off the methadone. I share this because I know Billy likes this one. My white key ring was given to me by the postman, and I'm sure a lot of you in there know the postman. And he presented it to me in a Big Mac and didn't tell me until I was, what the fuck's that? Yeah. Hang on to that, you know the postman, that saved your life. Yeah, that's how I got my white key ring. And I was blessed because I had these people that I'd grown up with that were ahead of me in recovery, and they were coming up. And I don't know, I got hope from them. You know, I'd used with these guys, I knew the kind of scoundrels they were. And now they were clean, you know. Oh, I'm going to take a meeting, oh, I've got treasury money, and what, you got what money? Do you know what I mean? And you ain't only taking it where, you do it, you know. And I kind of just followed their lead, you know. I came into recovery, left that hospital full of fear, came into recovery. And next month, I'll be 12 years clean. Wow. And I love saying that because up until this point, I've never ever done anything consistently in my life apart from take drugs and destroy myself. It's quite weird because this lady came and gave me the tissue before we stopped. I didn't think I was going to need it. It's all right. I watched a film the other day called Big Boys Don't Cry. I went, what? Big Boys Don't what? Fucking sure. In my using, there was days when I really wanted to cry just to get that relief, yeah? You said about the self-harming. I didn't know nothing about self-harming, but I used to burn myself with a Zippo lighter heater, burn myself. As until coming to recovery, I realised what I was doing. You know, I was trying to feel something, you know? And I wanted to cry, and I could never cry, never cry. I just wanted them tears to come to get that little bit of relief. And it didn't come until I came into recovery, and I did my first chair, and I got right away through, right near to the end, and it came, and someone came right from across the room with a tissue. I was like, oh, fuck it, went bad enough I was crying, you know what I mean? You just put it right on me. He went, here you are, mate. Yeah, thanks, mate. And I went, yeah, I think I'll leave it there. And I vowed never to do a chair again. And then I hit, what year did I hit? I hit 10 years clean, and 10 years clean, man, and fucking I ain't stopped crying. I'll sit and I'll listen to a song and I'll hear a lyric and I'm on my own and I still try to fight it. Do you know what I mean? You know, and I can see all the men going, yeah, man, yeah, we know. They know what I'm, you know what I mean? A couple of times I've said, no, to hell with it. And I've let it come, do you know what I mean? And I'm into music, and so I write songs, and I could be writing a song, and I'm recording a song, and I'm singing the song. And I just let, you know what I mean? and then I delete it afterwards. But I don't know. What I'm trying to get at is that what happens here is magical and it's beautiful. Look at how many people is in this room, yeah, who's not out there harming themselves, harming other people, causing their family stress. Do you know what I mean? You know, as I said, I sat in crack houses trying to work out how to do this without doing this for years. And where have I ended up? Here, doing this. Do you know what I mean? I tried the Weetabix detox, yeah? Where you get a box of Weetabix, you buy the biggest bottle of scotch you can get, which is usually about 2 miniatures, you know what I mean? You get 16 for puff, 20 fags, and that's it. Yeah, I'll see you on the other side. do you know how many times I've done the Weetabix detox, yeah? And it never works, funnily enough. Do you know what I mean? You know, there's usually still 3/4 of a box of Weetabix by the time I say fuck. I've got to use, man. You know what I mean? I'm looking at Weetabix thinking, you ain't doing it for me, man. I need to use. You know, I've had friends try and lock me in, man, lock me in. Yeah, but you're gonna, no, I'm not, man, lock me in. Yeah, lock me in. In the end, the guy was going, look, get out, man, just go. Yeah, just go. I was like, no, but listen, man, but the no, man, just go. And I went, okay, man, thank you for help. You know, and I went and scored. I did the family one, yeah, look, man, and yeah. You know, and I had my sister. My sister would turn up at my flat every morning without fail and hand me £20. So I didn't go out and rob, so I didn't commit crime. And I'd say, yeah, thanks, sis. And she'd go, and I'd score the £20 and I'd go, and I'd commit crime. She did that for years. I still haven't properly done an amends to her on that one, actually. But it's kind of, she's one of them ones where, look, you're clean now, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You know, my aunt, yeah, can I stay at yours? Let me stay at Arnie's, because I won't use at Arnie's. And everything, yeah, it was all arranged. I didn't even get to the house, because I knew there's no way I'd be able to use in that. But, yeah, so I ever going to even try it, do you know what I mean? My family's always been there, no matter whatever I've put them through, they've always been there. This Christmas, I heard my two sisters talking in the kitchen. Yeah, he's a golden boy now. Yeah, he's a golden boy. Yeah. Yeah. And I was sitting there, boy, I was like, yeah. Right? They didn't know I was listening. Yeah, he's a golden boy. Yeah, he tells mummy he loves her every time he leaves. I was like, yeah. I don't know if anyone's in here who goes to the Hampstead meeting on a Tuesday. But this has been something that I've struggled with all last year, is saying to my mum, I love you. We don't do it in my family. Hugs, you know, that's TV shit. Do you know what I mean? They don't happen in my household. So it was important for me to do that. So it started where I'd leave, yeah, mum, see you later. I'd get to the door, yeah, see you later, yeah, love you. And then it got a bit louder. But as it got louder, I'd get out the door quicker. And then the very last time I said it, I heard her say it back. But that was too much to deal with, so I got out. Do you know what I mean? And it just goes like that. I said, yeah, mum, I love you, and I go. And I just leave it like that. So at Christmas, to hear that, it was like, oh, she does hear it when I say it. Do you know what I mean? And it was, yeah. It meant a lot to me. And it's nice that I can share this with you people, because people outside this room wouldn't understand that stuff. Do you know what I mean? Wouldn't understand it at all. The next one, this year's mission, is to hug her. Do you know what I mean? It sounds mad, you know, I'm a 48-year-old man. Do you know what I mean? And the only time I've ever hugged my mum is when I'm trying to graft her. Oh, yeah, mum, yeah, 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 can I have a fiver? Yeah, yeah, mum, yeah, 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 can I have a fiver? Do you know what I mean? It's never been a genuine, like, you know. So that's my mission for this year. I've enjoyed my recovery, do you know what I mean? I really have. It's been challenging at times. But life is challenging. And I just bring it back to, I know how much more challenging it would be if I was using. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, I got married in recovery, you know, had two kids in recovery, got divorced in recovery. The last time I did the chair here, it was like, can we record it? And I was like, no. So I was going through the divorce. I wasn't sure what was going to come out of my mouth, man. So I thought better not record that stuff. But you know what? The nice thing that recovery's done is it weren't a messy divorce. Do you know what I mean? You know, it could have been. Don't get me wrong. It started off with you this, you that, you let me down, you betrayed me, you've abandoned me. I did all that stuff. But what I did is I upped my game. And I started coming to more meetings and I started speaking to people. And for going through the process, I don't know, I just saw things from her side. Do you know what I mean? And I wasn't the best husband. You know? How much we wasn't the best dad at the time, you know? I don't want to make excuses, but there was other stuff, going on. But anyway, you know, I wasn't the best. Period. I wasn't the worst, but I wasn't the best. She had every right to be dissatisfied with me. You would never have heard that from my lips a few years ago, never in a million years. It would have been her fault and I'd have taken that to the grave. You know, I still defend her sometimes to my family and stuff. When nothing bad, you know, but I'd be like, I find myself still doing it, you know. Not still doing it, rightfully doing it. Because, you know, it was what it was. She's in recovery too, you know, and I wish her all the best. I wish her all the best. She's the mother of my children and she does a great job. She got rid of me, got herself a new Mercedes, wicked. she traded up, boy. When I saw her in the new car, I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah. I don't know which I would have preferred, the new car or a new boyfriend come round the corner. But yeah, it is cool. I saw her today, we chat, you know, and it's all because of this. It's all because it's mad. I wish I could explain how it works. I can't, it does. You know, I have a sponsor. You know, I work steps to the best of my ability, which means, yeah, you know what it means, thank you, Penny. It means the book sits on the side. But my sponsor said to me, right, Arnold, he said, get the book, get the pad, get the pen, put it on the side. That's what he said, just put it on the side. I said, all right, cool. I knew I picked this man for a reason. Let's put it on the side. And slowly but surely that book kept taunting me, man. And I had to open it, and I opened it, and I started answering questions. Do you know what I mean? I've slowed up a little bit, but yeah, I'm in the middle of step one around my food issues. You know, when I first come in, I used to share constantly about, I'm so skinny. And now I share about, look at the size of me, I'm looking bad, I'm looking blue. I got weighed the other day and she said, yeah, 100 and something kilos. I went, oh, I said, by the way, what's that in stones? Kilos means nothing to me. What's that in stones? And she went, eight. I went, what? She went, 18. I was like, oh, fuck. Shit. No wonder my leg snapped 2 years ago. Do you know what I mean? But I'll end on this quickly. I wanted to share on, because at the moment I'm on a lot of medication. I'm on MTS, Oromoth, pre-gabbling. This is all for this leg ulcer I've got. I really did mean to share about that, but I didn't get there. But what I will get in quickly is that I'm on all this small, yeah, I've got shitloads. When my doctor give it to me, he went, don't sell it. I said, all right. And I looked back and he weren't even joking, you know. He was, don't sell it, yeah. And I thought, oh, okay. At first, this guy didn't realise I had to tell him I was an addict. And he said, yeah, and? I said, so I can't have certain painkillers? Take this. And then a couple of days later, another doctor with more experience phoned me up. What are you doing taking morphine? It's like, oh, fucking hell. You got off that stuff, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? And it was nice, do you know what I mean? So she must have pulled him up. So now he phones me every week to check in how I'm doing with this medication. I'm taking it as prescribed, which is something I would know. You know, I'm an addict, I'm a doctor. Yeah, I'm a doctor, I'm a chemist. Yeah, what? I don't need that BNF book. I am the BNF book. So, but I'm doing it as advised, do you know what I mean? And I'm taking this payment. I would rather not be taking it, to be honest with you. And I still do hold that till it's really, really painful. But it gets too painful, and I take it. You know, last year I had to do it. Two years ago when I broke my leg, I ended up doing a cluck, at 10 years clean, doing a cluck in my mum's, off of the morphine. And they give me ketamine. That's a weird. Yeah, give me ketamine in the hospital. They said, yeah, they just give you some ketamine. I said, are you sure? I said, no, you know I'm an addict. And they said, yeah, no, but you know. And I'm sitting in the bed going, yeah, look at my hand, doc. Look how big my hand is, man. Do you know what I mean? And so I ended up doing the clock at 10 years clean. It was horrendous. It really was. It really reminded me why I do this. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I would rather not be taking this medication, but I need to take it. And as I say, I work very closely with my doctor because the wrong day, an extra pre-gabbling might look appealing, or an extra few mils of Oromorph might just hit the spot, might just take the edge off that, you know what I mean? So I share it, and I like to share it because it's not my dirty little secret, do you know what I mean? So I wish I would have liked to have more time to share about that. But the time is, how many are 42, 41? All right, what can I say? Really profound. Okay, so in my using, when I used to phone up Ninja Man or Killer Man Twice and all them other crazy names to score, do you know what I mean? And I say, yeah, Killer Man, what you got? And he's there, I got the peng. Yeah, I got the peng, bruv, come, quick. And I get there quick. So quick, you know what I mean? I forgot to put articles of clothing on. You know what I mean? And I say, yeah, peng is it, man. And he'd give it to me, and it was shit. Right? Utter crap, right? At no time did I go, that's it! Man, I ain't doing these drugs. That's it, that's crap. That's it, I'm changing my life. It's the same with meetings. When I go to a meeting, and I don't get what I'm intending to get, or I think, that's shit, I don't walk out and say, this recovery is not for me. I do what I did back then. And I say, Killer Man, your stuff's shit. Let me check Ninja Man. Yeah? I had a dealer called Jesus. Right? I kid you not. And I refuse to call him Jesus. Yeah, I refuse to call him. I'm not religious, but I refuse to call him Jesus. Jesus, I thought you... And one called Hulk. And yeah. I search for where the good shit is. And that's what I got to do with my recovery. Yeah? If the good shit ain't here, I gotta go and find the good shit over there. And if it ain't over there, I go over there. And if it ain't there, I go there. And that's me done.